Welcome to the Life Over Coffee Podcast, Conversations for Transformation.
I have been working through my book titled The Talk, and it is a free book that is at lifeovercoffee.com in our store. I would love for you to go over to our store, scroll down just a little bit, and you can find all of our digital downloads. And one of those free books is The Talk. The Talk, I'm talking about the sex talk. As I develop a strategy for having that talk with your child when it comes to that important time in their lives. For those of you who have been following the series, you know that I have built a long on-ramp to get to The Talk. In fact, in the introduction to the book, I talk about how the sex talk begins in the toddler years, as you want to give them a picture of what a relationship looks like between a man and a woman. Of course, the best people to do that are the child's parents. But eventually, when they hit the ages of 10, 11, 12, 13, somewhere around there, you actually want to get into the mechanics of the talk. That 2-3 day period where you take your child away and you explain the birds and bees to them. And so what I want to do over the next 3 chapters of this book, and again, you can get it in our store, is I want to break down a plan where you can have the sex talk with your child. Let's assume that you have read thus far or watched and you have this preliminary work down, and you come to this point to where you want to take your child off for a weekend retreat and you want to talk about sex, biblical intimacy, what it's like between a man and a woman as far as their intimate relationship is concerned. And so the question is there a terrific way to introduce the sex talk to your child? Now, this is chapter 6 in my book, The Talk. Every parent is faced with the challenge, though every parent does not think about sex the same way. Of course, there are a few parents who kick the sex talk can down the road, assuming that they will learn eventually. And they will. And there is no question about that. In fact, in a prior chapter, the title of it was something like Wise Parents Teach Their Children How to Curse. And I'm talking about a theology of language. And one of the questions that I put forth in that chapter is, who do you want to teach your children a theology of language? Specifically, who do you want to teach your children curse words, swear words? Because they will be taught. The culture will not wait for us to catch up. And if we choose to kick the can down the road, as far as language is concerned, the culture will be ready for them and they will be ready to indoctrinate your children. Well, the same is for the sex talk. And so it behooves every parent not to procrastinate, but to study their children, to know them uniquely as each child is different from the other, and then choosing the appropriate time to have that talk with them. I suspect if you brought the sex talk up to a group of adults, there would be a mixed bag of responses. Some of the people in the group would respond with nervous laughter. Others would respond with snappy jokes. A few of them may be crude, sadly, especially if that were in a Christian community. It can be a challenge to distinguish a group of parents from a group of giddy teens when talking about sex. We speak from our experiences, and some parents' sexual history, experiences, and training were far from ordinary, pleasant, or exportable. By all means, we would not want to export some of the things that have happened to us in our childhood. And of course, I would be one of those children. Let me share with you just a few illustrations from a fictional group of friends to try to get a broader understanding of the different responses that you would run into when you bring up the sex talk. Mabel was molested as a child. She has lots of thoughts about sex, though mostly sad ones. Biff had a secret porn addiction. Most of his thoughts were disguised behind a, I hope I'm not found out, fear. Marge believed men were pigs, and all they wanted was sex. She shared what she thought, which was neither encouraging nor helpful. Bert believed sex was taboo. He had nervous thoughts when he shared his perspective. Mildred blushed the whole time. She couldn't wait to get home. This is not the kind of conversation that she ever wants to have. Bert was crude. His perverted pleasure from the conversation contributed nothing beneficial. Some people in the group felt as though they were talking dirty, while others felt dirty. They all had thoughts, but few of them were comfortable sharing them. And it's important that we understand this when we bring up the sex talk. Because of our shaping influences, because of the things that have happened to us, especially in a fallen world among fallen people, it can distort, it can skew our lens, our presuppositional starting place when we think about the idea of sex. And so it is something that you must work on. But you must help these parents to get to the point to where they can have the best conversation possible with their children. The shame of Adam was all over the faces of my fictional group, revealing hearts that had yet come into the practical freedom of the gospel, and they were normal Christians. The people who have the most freedom to talk about sex and the clearest perspective on sex can be the most muddled and shame-ridden about sex and sexuality. Sober talk and thoughtful discussions about sexuality are rare with Christian parents. After you compare the absurdities of the world with the maturity of God's Word, we would expect Christians to bring bold and careful counsel to the topic of sex. Our voices should not be muted, and we should not blush. God has given us the gift of clarity and wisdom, which compels us to speak into the sexual noise of our culture, and it is so loud. We should also speak into the minds of our children because they are so confused. Because of where we live in this technological culture, and because most kids, by the time they are ready for the sex talk, they have typically have been ready years before, because many of them, most of them, if not all of them, have devices, and so they have already been under the indoctrination of the culture. If you have a conversation with your child about sex and biblical intimacy, you may be surprised at the words they already know, the things that they know about sex, no matter how skewed it may be. There is no shame in a biblical worldview of sex. Many believers do not speak with clarity, wisdom, grace, or maturity, but they cow down to the challenge, or they respond with silly wisecracks. It is like we come into the discussion with a nervous apology rather than bold wisdom. The result is our kids are left to figure out what sex means through other mediums than in their homes or from their parents, and they do. They have. Most of them have. The number one sex mentor today is social media. There is a cyber effect. In fact, I have another book in our store called The Cyber Effect, and I would encourage you to get that free downloadable book as well. It will be quite instructive, as I shared a series of lessons with a local church in Colorado not so long ago. Many of the parents were wide-eyed, and it was like, wow, there's some things that I need to take care of in our home. I think we can just assume that we just bury our heads under the cyber sand and assume that our kids aren't learning these things, and we can play ignorant, but in reality, we can't be. We know what is happening out there in the culture, and we know that culture is in our phones, and it is within seconds of our children's eyeballs and their minds. Parents are left behind as their children find alternate means to learn about sex, as they explore sexuality outside the home, among their friends. Some of these explorations are at the children's volition, while other avenues are imposed upon our children because the algorithms are set up to attack. They are aggressive. It is a cyber invasion into your child's mind, whether they want to know about sex or not. If they have a device, it is 100% impossible to stay away from it. The world does not wait for stalling and stuttering parents to lead their children. There is no inhibition from the world when it comes to teaching their version of sex education. Sex is not going away because God preordained sex into how we relate to each other, which is why Satan created a rival who uses perverted temptations and tactics to twist our minds. Bad sex is born out of our shaping influences, the things that have happened to us, how our parents failed to lead us, and the poor choices that we have made. Our culture perpetuates our sex problems further through the perversion of the intrusion of the porn social contagion. This social crisis should not leave the Christian covered in the culture's sexual cyber dust. Rather than lamenting our present problems, we are called to step into our sexually dysfunctional world proactively. Sex is for the mature. Jesus came to kill and to destroy the works of the devil, and he similarly armed us to go and do likewise. We don't need another statistic about how bad porn is. We all know how bad porn is. What we need is proper training that initiates a proactive plan to talk to our children about how to live a life of purity in an impure world. The number one question that people ask about the sex talk is when to have it. I have made a case throughout this book here, The Talk, that the sexual education of our children begins before their first birthday. We begin by having sexual communications with our children before they can walk. What you don't want to do is to pretend that sex and sexuality do not exist. Sex is a relationship. Sexuality happens in relationship. And then when they are of age for a more in-depth and more complex discussion about sex, you drop a dramatic and probably traumatic sex bomb speech on them that is out of context because they've had no long on-ramp to learn about it. And that strategy does not help children or deepen your relationship with them. A biblical worldview of sex and sexuality needs a long, slow on-ramp that incrementally leads to appropriate, unique to each child, discussions about the intricacies of intimacy. I talked about in my book, The Talk, that wise parents teach their children how to curse. Again, you want to get out in front of the culture's ways, whether it's sexual intimacy or the words that they use. I talked about how the sex talk begins in the early toddler years in the book. Also, incrementally releasing your children to the culture. Like a slow time-released capsule, the parents begin in the early years as they teach the children about the culture appropriately and biblically, of course. And then when you come to the actual sex talk, they've already had a sex education without these few aspects that you're about to lead them into. But you want to set that foundation. You want to build a strong structure and a worldview for them to understand sex and sexuality. Each child is different. It is every parent's call to customize how they communicate the sex experience to their child. Our three children are 2 years apart. They are girl, boy, and girl. God wonderfully and uniquely created each one of them. And so we scripted our approach to each one of them according to their individuality, according to their gender, of course, their maturity, their unique personality traits, their walk with God at that time, if they had a walk with God. The only similarity is that we started having the sex talk with them before they could walk. And as you can imagine, it would depend not only on whether your child is a Christian, but also on the maturity of their relationship with God. Sanctification is a process, and all of our children move at their own pace through progressive sanctification, again, assuming that your child is a Christian. If your child is not a believer, they will not be able to grasp the message the way they should because they lack the Spirit's illumination and the Bible's wise guidance. Maybe you don't know if your child is a believer. That is highly possible since that kind of assessment is subjective at best. It is even more subjective when they are young and living under your leadership. They're more than likely, if you're a Christian family, they're going to salute the flag, do what you do, go where you go, think how you think, follow you in your steps. Of course, as they get older and they begin to experience the independent stage of life, as they begin to step out and experiment, as they begin to succeed and fail, then you will find out in a more objective way if they are truly in the faith or not. Their true faith will be more measurable as they become adults living on their own. If you're unsure that they are a Christian, you can still assess their overall maturity and their responsiveness to the Word of God. Are they teachable? Are they open to the Lord's training? Or are they resistant? These type of questions are important because, again, you want to customize your sex talk with them and you have to know your audience, and so you want to read the room, or specifically, read the heart the best you can of your child. Regardless of their spiritual temperament, the starting point for all sexual discussions is spiritual in nature because sex is a spiritual matter first and foremost. You want to determine your child's spiritual capacity. This idea is similar to a child's ability to understand and process other things like math. I mean, some children understand mathematics. They get it. I was not one of those children. When it came to my algebra class, Miss Eason was an adorable lady. She just seemed to have a good heart and tried her best. But I could not get it. Algebra did not come easy. It's not how my mind works. I am different from my other siblings. You have children that have a harder time grasping math concepts like me. Your child's spirituality will be similar. At the transitional age from child to adult, girls are usually more mature than boys. You will need God's insights and wisdom as you consider your child's specific needs, strengths, weaknesses, and capacities. Regardless of age, start early. I've said that over and over again. Guide the train slowly out of the station, but by all means, bring it out and get things moving. You can't kick the sex can talk down the road. You cannot procrastinate on this. You have to get out in front of your children because the culture is already there, no matter how old your children are. Let your children experience a purer version of sexuality long before they ever understand the deeper meanings of sex, especially before the culture starts indoctrinating them. You do not want the talk disconnected from your ongoing, transparent relationship with your spouse or your children. Remember, sex and sexuality is intimacy inside of a relationship, not just in the bedroom, but also outside of the bedroom. It is how you relate to another human. You can be kind and gentle during biblical intimacy. Of course, you should be kind and gentle to your spouse outside of the bedroom. Now, I am not suggesting that as you have these conversations with your children that you have inappropriate discussions before it's time for them and for you to have them. I'm suggesting that you have a biblically appropriate, intimate, affectionate, and spiritual relationship with your spouse and your child, regardless of your child's age. Think about a relationship and then think about biblical intimacy. Well, there will be intimacy, there will be affection, there will be spirituality, there will be a number of other characteristics that are both appropriate for a relationship and also biblical intimacy, like honor and respect, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, just to name a few things. Love, obviously. Well, you want your child to experience all of those things inside the home so that when you step into the moment of having the sex talk, they already have these things. They understand them. Visually, they have seen this kind of relationship between a man and a woman, between their parents. A child does not need to hear the talk from someone that they've never cried with, sinned against, confessed to, or talked to profoundly. By the time you get to the talk, you need a relational history with your child that is meaningful and spiritual. You don't want to parachute in with the sex talk and it's disconnected from a relationship, a biblical relationship that you have with your child. You need to be their friends as much as you need to be their parent. No matter where you are with your child, you can begin an ongoing, meaningful, and transparent relationship with them now. If you have not had this kind of relationship with them, then you can build one by walking out repentance with them. You can tell them how you have failed and how you want to change the relationship. Let them know that you have failed and that you want to create a new kind of relationship with them. Humility can go a long way. God gives favor to the humble. Your future sex talk will be a natural progression of communication within the context of doing life together. It should not be an out of left field, overly punctuated event that freaks them out. It's like, what are you talking about? Who are you? You're talking about being intimate with your spouse and you're so unkind with your spouse? If the talk is in the context of a life lived within a relational familial context, and there are many appropriate talks along the way, then the actual sex talk will not be awkward. Suppose your children are older and you have established a relational context. In that case, I recommend that you talk with your church leadership, or you have not established a relational context, and that you talk to your leadership of your local church about how to reorder and restructure your home so that you can serve your child more effectively when the time comes for the talk. Because I recognize that many parents do not have a good relationship with their spouses. And many of them do not even think that, well, when I step into the sex talk with our child, that they will sense the incongruency between the intimacy that I'm talking about with the sex talk, but yet the adversarial relationship that you have with your spouse. If you're in a two-parent home, the dad needs to lead in these daily conversations about life issues. He should set a pace and a trajectory for sex and sexuality from a complementarian worldview. Complementarian parents build a biblical partnership with the dad leading and the mom complementing their leadership model. Though the mom leads the talk with the daughter, you do not detach it from her husband's leadership, from his care, from his insights. Sex is a relationship, as I've been saying, between a husband and a wife, which is a united front they want to practice in every context of their lives, especially when instructing their children about sexuality. I do not recommend that parents use immature synonyms to communicate anatomical body parts. Call them what they are. Our son doesn't have a PP, but he has a penis. That's not weird to him. It's what it is. A cup is a cup, a book is a book, and a penis is a penis. Immature language or immaturity about words is not wise and it's not helpful. You don't want to export weirdness to your children. Weirdness breeds insecurity while solidifying their shame, their pre-Adamic shame, what they received at birth, and it will create a communication distance between the parent and the child. Don't export your taboos or your silliness or your crudeness to your children. Use the right words. As your children mature, your hope is for a seamless transition to a more in-depth and more profound sexual discussion with them. It's the idea of building blocks incrementally being stacked one upon another. You begin with the language which leads them to future drawn-out discussions about the act of marriage. We did this with our children, that as we were having the sex talk with them during the retreat, prior to it, I began to introduce them to more adult words, especially around sex and sexuality, leading them into the sex talk. And then afterwards, after they had the sex talk and they knew about procreation, then we had more intimate words, specifically about sex and pornography, LGBTQ, etc. Imagine spending a few days with your child, walking them through teen and adult sexuality issues, and the first 2 days are spent getting comfortable with a new kind of language. Well, that's unnecessary, because you can be preemptive. Children have an incredible capacity to understand complex things and to be mature about them if you let them. Imagine you've been saying that this is your pee-pee for the last 12 years, and now you're going to have a discussion about penis and the vagina, and it's like, what just happened here? There will be hard enough transitions for them when you have the sex talk with them. Do not be embarrassed to talk about what God was not ashamed to create and to entrust into our care and stewardship. Of course, our parameters are always Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Sexuality discussions at a young age involves more than accurate anatomical language. Sexuality is a way of life. And while your children are young, you want to build a foundation for sex as you lavish them with affection, with encouragement, with edifying communication. These concepts contextualize the anatomical aspects of sex in the framework of a loving relationship. Without them, then your sex talk will be more theoretical or sterile or laborious. The best sex flows out of other-centered, God-saturated relationships. Distant, harsh, neglectful, critical, impatient, and generally frustrated parents, especially parents who are frustrated with each other, they do not prepare or equip their children with a biblical understanding and experience with sex. How many women have complained about the emotional detachment of their husbands? How many women have complained about their husband's sex on the brain mentality? One lady told me she felt like a Christian prostitute because of her husband's pornographic understanding of sex. His sexual practice was all physical, not spiritual, definitely not relational. He learned the mechanics of sex on the streets rather than from the Bible or from his parents. He was not equipped to relate well to the opposite sex. May I ask you a few questions? Do you have a biblically sexual relationship with your spouse? And I'm talking about outside the bedroom. Do you interact with each other with all of those attributes of gentleness and kindness and relational attachment, for example? What kind of sexual experience are you exporting to your children? What are your children learning from your sexual interactions? And again, I'm talking about outside the bedroom, because biblical intimacy is just as much inside as outside the bedroom. How is your home sexually characterized? Here are a few examples of biblically sexualized homes. Warmth, kindness, encouragement, respect, honor, serving. Is there anything you need to change about your home? If so, what is your plan to change? I would encourage you to think of these things as now we're getting into the actual sex talk. But I wanted to spend a few moments examining, looking in the rearview mirror, because if you are at that place of having the sex talk, then it is important for you to have a careful, sober-minded self-assessment of what you have been teaching them about biblical sexuality already by some of these attributes that I've laid out for you. And you can add to my list. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit would be a good 9-part list to lay out biblical sexuality in the home, love, joy, peace, etc. And if your children have been experiencing that from their parents, from the husband and the wife, then you have an excellent on-ramp built up to the actual sex talk. You have a foundation in place, a context, and so you will not be parachuting in and bringing some aberrant teaching to them that is so out of context with the relationship that they know that you have between husband and wife. If you have been doing it that well, then I do applaud you and just pray that you would be able to transition into the sex talk, which would be the final two chapters of my free book, The Talk, that you can find at lifeovercoffee.com. Now, as you look in the rearview mirror and make a careful, sober-minded self-assessment of how your relationship has been with your husband and wife, between husband and wife, and you see, well, we haven't been that at all. There hasn't been, generally speaking, warmth or kindness or encouragement or respect or honor or serving. Well, you need to understand that, because your child is about to hear a conversation from either the dad or the mom. The dad would lead the son in the sex talk. The mom would lead the daughter in the sex talk. And if your home hasn't been characterized by warmth, kindness, encouragement, respect, honor, serving, and you can keep adding to this list, then you need to know that, because your children will know that. They will know that something is wrong. And you need to have a conversation with them explaining how you have failed in whatever areas that you have failed. These are wonderful leadership opportunities. And by the way, your child will respect you. They respect honesty, transparency, humility, just as you do too. And so I would encourage you, as you think about these things, make any adjustments that you need to make. And then let's step into having the sex talk, the particularities of it. Now, I cover these things in my book, The Talk. It is an 8-chapter. It's short, about 20,000 words, but it is thorough in all the ways that it needs to be, and you will benefit from it. If your children are toddlers, if they're young in the home, then you're at a great place. Please get my book and read it. If you're about ready to have the sex talk, of course, you want to read it as well, because in the last two chapters, chapter 7 and 8, I walk through how to do that. But up to this point, I've been laying a foundation because it's so critical. We don't want to shock our children, and so we want to make sure that we have been careful in bringing them along through the first 10 or 11 years of their life. Again, this book is free, and we're able to do that because of the kind generosity of those who underwrite our ministry. If you're able to invest in Life Over Coffee, would you do that? Would you help us to keep our resources free? There are hundreds of thousands of people that consume our content on a monthly basis, and you are part of that community through your financial partnership. And so if you can help us by investing in our ministry, you can do that online or reach out to us, and we would be glad to talk to you about it. Please go get my book, The Talk, at lifeovercoffee.com.
Thanks for joining us. Learn more and get access to other resources at lifeovercoffee.com.